This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Monday, August 15, 2016. The Solemnity of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, by Father William Doc Holliday.
For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. If you attended Mass here this weekend, Saturday's Vigil Mass, or Sundays, I was flip in announcing the Mass schedule for today. And I was flip about decisions to not have this be a holy day of obligation, which it always is a holy day of obligation. Unless, of course, in our day and age when it falls on a Saturday or on a Monday. Because then, God forbid, we would ask the faithful to actually do something about their faith as opposed to the routine and make them come to church 2 days in a row. I don't apologize for it. Because it's not because I say so. It's not in conformity with the faith that has been handed down to us by the Holy Spirit through our Holy Church for millennia. You know, it's not in conformity with that. And it's not even, it really doesn't even make sense if you look at the classes of feast days, particularly in this day and age when another thing I get flip about and don't apologize for is this transfer of days to Sunday. Now, again, not in conformity with the way our church has always practiced, but, you know, we want more people to get there. Of course, we wouldn't want them to go out of their way about the faith. But this is a first class feast day. Sunday is our second class feast days. Last time I looked, one trump two. So if you're going to transfer days, why didn't they transfer this one to Sunday, when all the faithful could get together as many as possible and hear about the glories of our Blessed Mother? But that didn't even happen. But like I said, I don't apologize for it. You get in trouble for that kind of stuff. Yeah. What are they going to do? The bottom line of the whole thing is this. Is the fact that when we go out of our way for our faith, when we make it more than just the social routine, we make it real. Hey, those Catholics, they actually do believe something. You know, everybody goes to church on Sunday because, yeah, Sunday, that's, you know, from anything from the very committed people to the, hey, this is just social because grandma and grandpa and mom and dad were this, so we just go on Sundays. It's just something that we do, some people, by rote. Yeah? They probably all get all bent out of shape, not because they offended God by not going to Mass on Sunday, but just because it messed up their routine. When we have to go outside of the routine, when we have to make it real for us. Yeah? Well, like I said, in this day, God forbid that we'd actually present this as if it was something real in our lives, that we actually cared about something. Particularly this feast day. This feast day in and of itself, I would actually have to submit to you, this is subjective in my opinion. Out of all the feast days, this is the feast day that makes our faith most real for us. It makes it most real. Making our faith real was our Blessed Mother's ministry. I should say, well, is our Blessed Mother's ministry. Making our faith real for us is she started with her fiat. Before our Blessed Mother's fiat, the people of the Old Testament, it wasn't a person, it's God. He's out there. Every time he does happen to do things here, it's scary beyond belief. He does things like part seas and he does things like bring plagues, and he strikes people down. And when Moses goes up to get his law, he makes earthquakes and smoke and lightning and fire. He's this scary being that's out there somewhere. A fearful thing. Our Blessed Mother's fiat, be it done to me according to thy word, put a face on God, literally and figuratively. She made God real for us, someone whom you could look at, someone who was tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. Someone who allowed God to do things that he could not do before. Hey, wait, watch that stuff. He's God. He's perfect. He could do everything all the time. Honestly, because he is God and he is perfect, he couldn't do some things. In his perfections, God is what we refer to theologically as impassible. He doesn't have passions. He doesn't fly off the handle in anger. He doesn't get all syrupy about certain individuals. He is just God. And if you're on this side of what he says to do or not to do, he's good with that. If you're on this side, he's not good with that. And he just acts accordingly, not because he has passions. After our Blessed Mother's fiat, God was able to have passions. God was able to cry. He couldn't do that before. He does it at the tomb of Lazarus. God got hungry. God got tired. God was able to die. Something that God could not do before Mary's fiat. And guess what? Because of her fiat, God was able to die. That's why we have the possibility of going to heaven. Through her fiat, she made our going to heaven a reality. That's what she does. She makes our faith real. The Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. A little footnote on this thing. You talk to people who are not Catholic. You talk to some Catholics. Oh, yeah, those later Marian dogma, the Assumption, they didn't come up with that one until 1950. Pope Pius XII. No. Pope Pius XII promulgated it as a dogma of the Church. Something that you must believe to be a Catholic. When the Church does that, she is just confirming that something that the Church has always done, always throughout her history. In the old breviary this morning, the lessons, one of them, in commenting on the feast of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, was written by St. Peter Canisius. St. Peter Canisius was not born after 1950. St. Peter Canisius was born in the 16th century. And he comments on this feast day that is so important to the Church, this feast day of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. It's not anything new. The Church has always embraced and believed it and celebrated it. It was just promulgated as dogma in 1950. This feast day, why was it so important to the Church? Because Pope Pius XII did not wake up one morning in 1950 and go, you know, I haven't done any Pope stuff for a while. I think I'll promulgate a new dogma. It didn't work like that. He was petitioned by the vast majority of bishops on the face of this planet to do that. The faithful that gathered at St. Peter's to celebrate the promulgation of this dogma. Immense. We'd always done it. And now we want to ensure so much that this is appreciated that, you know what, if you're a Catholic, you've got to believe it. That's why we have this feast. But as I said before, it's because it makes our faith real. Our Blessed Mother, you know, the prayers, they're chanted and said in this Mass, and on every Marian feast day, you always get that one that's interjected in there, the one whom the heavens could not contain lay hid in your womb. Mary was a living heaven. Oh, hey, watch that stuff. Where does God live? In heaven. Heaven can't contain him. He's so immense. And he hides himself in her womb. She became a living heaven. The tabernacle of God, because that's what the Old Testament tabernacle was where God's presence was in shadow in this world, was in that ark. In the New Testament, that ark is our Blessed Mother. But she didn't hold God symbolically. She held God. This God that became real because of her fiat takes up residence within her. She is, for a time, a living heaven. It's ridiculous to think that the one who was a living heaven would not, when her time here was done, would be called up to become part of what she was down here, a living heaven. Our Blessed Mother, she opened her house to God, literally. I'm not talking about her womb, I'm talking about her house. She opened her house and her family to the second person of the Trinity, our Lord Jesus Christ. She opened her house to him. You know, I hear so often, and we chortle about it, this fairness thing. We always like to throw out, if there was really a God, he wouldn't do that because that's not fair. Now I say, who are you to be the arbiter of what's fair or not? He's God. But I'll throw the fair thing out. It wouldn't be fair to the Blessed Virgin Mary if she opened her house to God, and when her time was done down here, he didn't open his house to her. What would be more unfair? It's ridiculous. It's the assumption in and of itself. If we had none of these other arguments, well, why would God assume her? Because he could. It's his mother. If you got the power, your mother doesn't see corruption in the grave, you for one moment don't think you're not going to exercise that? If we had no other arguments, because he could, and that's his mother. How glorious is this? She makes our faith real. She makes mercy real. She makes it real for us to understand that these promises that we receive from her son, that someday if we maintain a life of faith and obedience, that we too will inherit heaven. You know, we get down here, you think about heaven so much. Yeah, that's when I die and my body's here and that's just a shell. And, you know, then I just, my spirit goes to heaven and kind of floats around there on the clouds with the toilet paper rolls, joy, 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 the harps and stuff. Us being separated from our bodies when we die, that's one of the things that makes it very, very scary for human beings. Because when God created us, he created us body and soul. And he looked, we're hybrids. We're the only ones like it. Just like Jesus Christ is the God-man, we've got this little thing going on where we're spiritual and slime of the earth. We're hybrids. That's why the angels don't get us. They don't understand our salvation. They don't understand how this whole thing works with us because they're spirit beings. We're a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Messed up in some ways, glorious in others. But when we die, and our souls are separated from our bodies, that is an unnatural condition. It's better now. He's dead. And no, it's not better, because when God made them body and soul, he looked at that and said, that's very good. So when the two are separated, that's not very good. That's why St. Paul harps on the bodily resurrection. St. Paul says that if the bodily resurrection is not true, then everything that we say, everything we say about salvation, Jesus, everything else is ridiculous. It's foolishness. It's absolute foolishness if there's not a resurrection of the body. So when everything is over and done with, that's how we're going to be in heaven. Body and soul back together, the resurrection, that last day, new creation, and we're going to be just like we are right now if we live a life of faith and obedience. That is a promise that, again, our Blessed Mother makes a reality for us. It's not conjecture. It's not ethereal, abstract proposition. It's the Blessed Virgin Mary died, and she was assumed body and soul into heaven, proving that there is a heaven that awaits the creature, body and soul. We can kind of lose that when we think about the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Jesus ascended. Isn't that enough? I know, because the naysayers can look at our Lord and say, well, he's God. He's the God-man. He can do things like ascend into heaven because heaven's where he came from. He wants to prove to us that it's for us too. That's why he brought his mother up, to prove to us the reality through her of our faith. So ultimately, she makes real these words of her Magnificat. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. Not abstraction, reality for her. He has done great things for her, and he continued to do great things for her because of all she endured for us and our salvation, and in breaking her own heart that was pierced by what happened to him. She makes these words real. He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. What is the greatest thing that our Lord could have done when his Blessed Mother was done with her time on this earth, is to bring her body and soul that she could hug him up there and would never, ever have to consider ever being away from him again, looking at him with the same eyes that she looked upon him in this world, the same eyes that she looked upon him hanging on the cross when her soul was pierced. She makes it real for us. She makes it for real for us. In Thanksgiving, we ought to act like it's real in our lives. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.